No tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
That was beautiful as always. We appreciate you and we appreciate your talent and we appreciate you singing for us today. Once again, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to have everyone present, and I hope and trust and I request that you breathe out a prayer for me as I stand before you this morning. Feel very much the need and the help of God. I feel a little bit weak from a physical standpoint, but I also feel very weak from a spiritual standpoint. And so I ask you that you would hold me up this morning as I try to speak to you. I have chosen a lesson from the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to read about 6 verses from this chapter, and then I'll possibly read some other verses as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, that's all I'm going to read from that chapter at this particular time. I want to use as my thought for this morning, in times like these. In times like these. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthian church in the first century. And we're now living in the 21st century. So it's been over 2,000 years since this epistle was written. And I think about how many times in the scripture the second coming of the Lord is mentioned. Jesus himself promised that he would come again. All of us, of course, are very much aware that we just came through the Christmas season, the celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus, his first coming, when he came as a baby. And he lived on the earth for a period of time. And then he sacrificed his life. He came, Jesus said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom. And that's exactly what he did. He ransomed our souls with his very life. He paid the cost for our redemption. It's wonderful to be able to sing, I'm redeemed. And I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. What a wonderful thing to be redeemed, to be saved. I noticed in Brother Russell's prayer the emphasis that he put on being saved and knowing that he was saved and having a time and a place when he was saved. And that's important. That's the most important thing in life, because we all know we're going to die and we can't live forever. And so the Lord Jesus, even after his resurrection, he appeared unto the disciples on the Mount of Olives, and they talked about things concerning the kingdom of God. Been an interesting conversation. I wish I could have heard all of the things that were said, but we do have a record of some of the things that are said. And the Lord Jesus told his disciples, I want you to be witnesses for me. I want you to tell everybody about me. I want you to tell them about my life. I want you to tell them about my sacrifice. I want you to tell them about what they've done, what I've done for you. And I want you to tell them about what I can do for them. I want you to be witnesses unto me. And after he had said these things, a cloud received him up out of their sight. They stood gazing into the heavens as the Lord Jesus ascended. And the Bible said, there appeared unto them two men in the white raiment. And they said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus that ye see go away shall come again in like manner. He's coming again. Many times Jesus referred to his second coming. And since that day, thousands and thousands of sermons have been preached about the Lord Jesus coming again. And we sing as we did today, Brother Wayne. Jesus is coming soon. And I don't know how soon, and no one else knows how soon. It has been 2,000 years since he said that he was coming again. And he hasn't come yet, but he is coming. Now, I want you to pray for me. I need your prayers. I need the help of God as I try to set this forth. I think in the days of the apostles, I think that it was quite a common for them to talk about Jesus coming again. In fact, I think that perhaps they might have misunderstood the words of the Apostle Paul when he said that he was coming. And they understood or thought that he meant he's coming soon. Because later on, the Apostle Paul, he talked about in the first chapter, our second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. He said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him." Paul's still preaching Jesus is coming again. And he's not only is he coming, we're going to go back with him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 15, Paul said, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." So, you know, we, the people of God, the children of God, they've been looking for Jesus to come for 2,000 years. And that promise is just as good today as it ever was. He's still a-coming. But I wanted you to notice some other things about this. He said to them, "Now don't be soon shaken in mind. Don't get all shook up about this. Or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. As that the day of Christ is at hand." He said he was coming. He didn't say, "I'm coming soon." But he did say, "I'm coming." And they were expecting him to come immediately. They didn't expect him to be gone for a long period of time. They thought he would come back right away. And so Paul wrote this second epistle. And he is saying to them, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from me, as the day of Christ is at hand. He said, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So he said Christ is coming, but there's some things that's going to take place between now and the time when he comes. It said that day will not come except the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And he said, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He said, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now there's something else I wish we had more information on. I wish we had the record of Paul's conversation with this church about the things that were going to take place. But he said, but now ye know what withholding, that he might be revealed in his time. There is something that is preventing. There is something that has been, that has prevented the appearance of the man of sin. And I believe that that something is the presence of the Lord's church and the Holy Spirit. I believe if it had not been for faithful men and women who served God and who were witnesses for the Lord Jesus and who were what people call prayer warriors. I mean, they prayed and they worshiped God and the Holy Spirit blessed them and gave them success. And people were saved and born into God's family. And so the coming of the Lord has not taken place yet. Now, I wish I knew more about the man of sin. I don't. I'm not going to stand up here and pretend that I know all about this. I don't. I do know this. I do know, my friend, that times have changed. I do know that there has been a great falling away. I do know, as the Bible said and Paul warned, he said, the Spirit expressly speaketh. Now that means the Holy Spirit has spoke very forcefully. There was no doubt in what he was saying. Easy to be understood. The Spirit expressly speaketh that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith. They will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And they shall be turned away from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. Now you know a fable is it's just a made-up story, you know. It's a fairy tale. And I know lots of people down through the years that have turned away from the truth, and they have turned unto fables, just like the Bible said they would do. I said, I don't know much about the man of sin. I don't know who he is, and I'm going to tell you, nobody else knows who he is. He has not been made known as yet. But Paul did say, the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. And it was at work in his day. And it's still at work today. And he said, only he who now letteth or hindereth or preventeth from showing up will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. I'm going to say again, I don't know much about the man of sin. But the Bible said that the mystery of iniquity That is lawlessness, the mystery of lawlessness, was already at work in his day. And it said it is going to get worse. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said this, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that has come true, hasn't it? That has come true. And the rest of it will come true also. The spirit of wickedness is abounding in this world. And it says, they find the verse and read it again. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now that spirit of Antichrist and that spirit of wickedness has been on the increase. And it has increased very rapidly. And so Paul, he said, the Lord's coming. But don't misunderstand. He's not coming right away. But he is coming. He said the man of sin will have to be revealed before he comes. And he said that his working is after the workings of Satan. You know, Satan is a destroyer. Satan, he is very active in trying to tear up the work of the Lord. He is trying his best to bring turmoil and division and trouble and strife. And he is being very successful at it. Now, you say, well, why are you saying all of this? I'm saying that the coming of Jesus is closer today than it's ever been. It's closer today than it's ever been. I want to just go back here just for a few minutes of time and talk to you a little bit about this. He said the coming of the Lord will not take place except there come a falling away first. And I thought about as I studied and meditated upon this, what falling away was he talking about? He could have been talking about the falling away of the Jews. You know, they were God's chosen people in the earth. But they rejected the Lord Jesus. And so the Lord Jesus rejected them. He said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. He wept over them. He said, how often would I have gathered you together? As a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but you would not. You would not let me. And so they fell away as the chosen people of God. And God provoked them to jealousy with a people that was not the people of God. And that was the Gentiles. I wondered if that falling away had any reference to the fullness of the times of the Gentiles. And then I wondered whether it was having reference to our Christian people. You know, there's been a great falling away among Christian people, I believe. I believe that we have, many people have departed from the faith. I believe they've taken up with false doctrine and things that are contrary to the Word of God. And that maybe he's talking about all of it rolled together. There has been a great falling away. Since I was a boy, there's been a great change. Since the 50s and the 60s. There have been a lot of things that have changed. And you know, it just is troubling and it's upsetting as we see the deterioration of our country. And we see the deterioration of our churches. And it makes me think, surely the coming of Jesus is getting closer than it's ever been. But anyway, he said there'll be a falling away. And there's corruption everywhere you look nowadays, isn't there? I'm telling you, it's a serious time. And people opposing God, opposing that which is right. It's people exalted themselves, you know, and they have no reverence for God, no reverence for the Word of God. It's a serious time. A great falling away is taking place right before our very eyes. And this is the spirit of Antichrist that's making his appearance here in the world today. And there is nothing so despicable, I think, as what's going on before our eyes. Let me ask you this. I'm going to close. I'm out of breath. I just don't feel like I need to go any further. And I hope I haven't confused anybody here today. That Jesus is coming. Signs of the times are everywhere. They are everywhere. Paul wrote to the Romans, I believe it was. And he said, when ye shall see these things come to pass, lift up your heads. Your redemption's drawing nigh. Jesus is coming. And so, I want to ask this question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you living right? There's an old song that says, are you living right? Should you die tonight? I believe there's a lot of the people of God, I mean that have been genuinely saved, that are out of the will of God. Out of the will of God. I tell you, I pray that God's people will get stirred up and that we'll understand and realize we're living in the last days. Paul wrote to Timothy about the last days. Said there'd be perilous times. That's dangerous times. And he described the conditions. And he covered about everything you could cover, didn't he? Including people having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And it's time that God's people came back to God. They come back and ask, Lord, forgive them. And to restore the joy of their salvation. And take up their cross. And get in the Lord's church. And serve the Lord. It's so important that we do so. Are you living right? You know, I know I'm talking to the choir this morning. I believe that I am. Maybe talking to a multitude of people by way of Facebook. You may have at one time been faithful to the Lord and you have let down and you're not carrying your load as a child of God. I tell you, you need to get back in the harness and you need to take up the cross and do your part in the service of the Lord. Take your family to church. Husbands, I tell you, the responsibility. Husbands, we like to consider ourselves the head of the family. But I tell you, we need to take the role and be faithful in it. Nothing more important than raising your family in the house of God. Letting their children be exposed to the gospel so they can get saved. If you don't get saved, I'm telling you, it's going to be a sad day when the saints and the sinners are departed right and left. Don't leave off the most important thing in your responsibility as parents. Keeping your children in church. Keeping them exposed to the Word of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Without the gospel, people will not be saved. Because the Holy Spirit uses the gospel to convict them of sin and enable them to repent and trust in Jesus. So the signs of the times are everywhere. There's a song in our book, "In Times Like These, We Need the Bible." In times like these, we need a Savior. Times like these, we shouldn't be idle. We should work while it is day. The night's coming when no man can work. God bless you. I'm going to close. I ask you to pray for me. I pray that God will use this message today. Jesus is coming. I can't emphasize it too much. Jesus is coming. If you're ready, that's wonderful. If you're not, it's the greatest tragedy of all tragedies. To be lost and lost forever. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to seek the Lord while He can be found. May God bless you is my prayer. Brother Wayne, we might stand and sing a song. If you're here and lost and you need to get right with God, you come to Jesus today. He'll save you. He's a wonderful Savior. Let us stand as we sing.